thought usually when I set out to come here, I have all types of plans to prepare, you know, the day before, a few days before. And then when I get in the car, I realize I don't have anything to say. And we have a lot of Siyata Shmaya on the drive on the way here. And Baruch Hashem, I had a lot of Siyata Shmaya on the way here. So it's in your school. It's in your school.
Does anything they say ever not have to do
with Hebrew Torah? Why don't I tell you a shtickle for Ramesha? Dovi, he goes to Ramesha. He hears him. Tell you a shtickle for Ramesha. He's talking a lot about David and Melech. Alright, so we have a few themes that we want to connect together tonight. David and Melech, Sfiras Aimer, Shemitah Yevon, this week's Pasha, Shemitah Yevon. So let's see where we start. The Torah says, Ad Mimachas HaShabbos HaShviyas Tisperu Chamishim Yayim, until you start on the second day of Pesach and then you count 50 days. Do we count 50 days?
No.
We don't. We count 49 days. Right. Tisperu Chamishim Yayim. Yeah, but if the pasuk would say ad chamishim yom, that would be a teretz. That you count ad chamishim yom, it's ad v'lo b'chol. But it says ad mimachas haShabbos haShviyas. That you count until the day after the seventh Shabbos, tisper chamishim yom. Then it says you count 50 days. So it doesn't say ad chamishim. So that's a different problem. We count 50 days. We don't count 50 days. So why not? Why not? I mean, you know, it is 50 days. There's a day that we don't count. Okay. We lay in on Shavuos. We have two Kriyas. We have Kriyas of Torah of Matan Torah. We read about Matan Torah. Yeah, once we lay in Rus. The reason why we lay in Rus is because David HaMelech passed away in Shavuos. So we lay in Rus. We lay in Rus. Is that a coincidence? It worked out, you know, it worked out coincidentally that David HaMelech was in the Shavuos as a result. So, in memory of David HaMelech, we lay in Rus. Is that a coincidence?
Why would
there
be a coincidence?
Why would it, there's no coincidence. It's no coincidence, yeah. And there's other connections between Rus and Matan Torah. Rus is Makabat Torah. Lain Rus. Why do we lay in Rus if we're trying to commemorate David HaMelech? I would say it would be more appropriate to lay in Tilim. Arlene say from Malachim. Why are we laying in Rus? Gosh. I mean, another point I'd like to cover is, yeah, what's the whole point in counting? What is counting? What does counting mean to us? Why do we count? What are we counting? What are we counting? When the Rishonim say that we count in order to increase the anticipation of Matan Torah, we're counting towards something. That's all we're counting. We're counting days, and at the end of 7 days, we say how many weeks it was. What's the point in that? We'll say, you know, like, if we're just counting because we want to we want to anticipate, we're counting towards something, we're counting towards Matan Torah, so then why at the end of the week do we have to say how many weeks it is? That's not just a way of keeping track. We count how many weeks. And then the Torah tells you, you count for 7 weeks, and at the end of 7 weeks, you're counting 50 days. We know that, you know, we know that 7 times 7 is 49. Is the Torah teaching us the times tables? Is the Torah teaching, you know, these are all points. Is the Torah teaching us the times tables? We call it Sfiras Ha'omer. Did you ever think about what the term Sfiras Ha'omer means? What does Sfiras Ha'omer mean?
Counting from the day.
You just added something.
Counting the Omer.
You count the Omer. You count the Omer. I have one Omer, two Omers, three Omers, seven Omers, a week and 2 days, 3 weeks and 2 days of Omers. You ever wonder what Sfiras Ha'omer means? You added. You know why you added? Because it doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. We call it Sfiras Ha'omer. Sfiras Ha'omer is not just the common term which, you know, people use for brevity's sake. The bracha is Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al Sfiras Ha'omer, which means the Chazal coined the term Sfiras Ha'omer. It's from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It's from the Kadmonim. The ones who made up that bracha called it Sfiras Ha'omer. Why did they call it Sfiras Ha'omer? Right, yesterday he spoke about David HaMelech, which quotes his pasuk, and the Medrash asks a question. What did Hashem find? Hashem found something. What did Hashem find? And the Medrash answers, Hashem found David HaMelech. Hashem found David HaMelech in Sodom.
In what?
Sodom, the city of Sodom. The pasuk is telling us Hashem found David HaMelech in Sodom. What does David HaMelech have to do with Sodom? Any answers?
Sodom.
What? Hashem found David HaMelech in Sodom.
Because Amnon Moav
came from Lot. The Lot was Rus came from Amnon Moav, and David came from Rus. So David came out of the destruction of Sodom. Sodom was a very interesting place. In Sodom it was illegal to harbor guests, fugitives. Hakhnasas Arkim was a capital offense. Someone who was marked as Arkim was Chayiv Misa. The Gemara tells us that in Stein there was an interesting law. They used to take turns bringing out the sheep to pasture.
Huh?
They used to take turns putting out the sheep to pasture. Yeah, they had like a whole bunch of sheep. They used to take turns. Someone that had an ox. So then he had a turn for one day. Some of them had no oxen. He had to take a turn for 2 days. The Gemara tells us this.
A turn for what?
For 2 days.
A turn for what?
To take the sheep out to pasture.
If you had an ox, one day.
One day. This is the Gemara. It's in
no
Rosh
ox,
Hashanah.
2 days.
This, no, one. If you owned an ox, you guarded, you took the sheep out, you were a shepherd for 1 day. Everybody took a turn 1 day. If you had no oxen, then you had to do it for 2 days.
Oh, they were cruel to the poor and nice to
the rich. What is this? You know, yeah, they're cruel to... What is this? First of all, what does it mean, and why is it important to the Nitzchias? Why is it in Torah? What kind of system is this? Chayiv Misa for Hakhnasas Arkim. I mean, there's a lot of Gemaras. It doesn't make sense. The philosophy of Stoim is a distortion. It's a distortion of Yisoid. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with one person, Adam Rishon, and Hashem created the entire world for one person, only one man. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu put Adam Rishon here to earn his livelihood by the sweat of his brow. And the Adam Rishon was meant to be self-subsisting. He has to work on his own. So they understood their mistake, the philosophy of time. They understood that the kavana of creation, the intent of all creation, Hashem created the world, was that you only deserve something if you work for it. You work for it, you earn it, you get it. That's reward for your physical labor, or any scar, anything. You have to work for it, you have to earn it, you deserve it. Anyone that doesn't earn his keep, that relies on others, is going against the entire purpose of creation. It sounds familiar, there's many isms that echo this. There's a famous ism, communism. Communism is leeches and parasites. Parasitism. Parasitism.
So they didn't, if you didn't work for your food, then you should.
Then you're chayav misa. Why are you chayav misa? Because you don't belong in this world. You don't belong in this world. The world is created that you have to deserve something, you have to earn it, it has to be yours. You have to own it, it has to be you and only you. The whole concept of chesed, someone helping someone else, it wasn't the one who received the chesed, he wasn't the only one to blame. Anyone that gave himself to others is destroying the world, it's Korban Island. How could you give something to someone that didn't deserve it? He has to deserve it. If you don't deserve something, if you don't earn the right, then you don't have the right to be here. You have to earn your keep. You don't have the right to be here. Needless to say, the whole concept of Benam Lachaveri doesn't exist. And the cohesiveness of a tzibur, of a unit to come together, that the members of the community, each one could help, could help the others, other members with their shortcomings, whatever one chelik is missing, the other chelik is mashlim, the whole unit of hashlama. You compensate, you have a certain mila and someone else doesn't, and you help him. That doesn't exist. It's survival of the fittest. This is a bigger rikus, but if you anyone that receives chesed or gives chesed is writing themselves out of creation. They can't be here. They just cannot be here. And this is what Hashem created the world. And they had their rise. It was a theology. It was a philosophy. They believed in this. Stein believed in this. If somebody earns his own keep, let's say someone succeeds within the system, so then he does it and he gets the credit for everything he does. That's self-worship. This is the polar extreme. The polar extreme of Yiddishkeit. Because in Yiddishkeit, you believe that you have to work and you have to toil. But in the end, anything you get is pure chesed. Because there's nothing that you could do to earn or to deserve anything. Just Hashem wants us to work. Hashem wants us to work towards a goal. and the challenges, and we overcome them, and we face them. But in the end, what Hashem gives us is on a totally different level than what we did. We got up in the morning, we davened shacharis. We overcame a yetzer hara. We worked very hard at it. What did we do for Hashem? He doesn't need it. Hashem doesn't need it. Hashem is fine without anything. Hashem doesn't need sacrificial lambs. Hashem doesn't need an endless supply of perfect esrogim. Hashem doesn't need esrogim. Hashem owns all the esrogim. They're His before we even give them. We're not giving Him anything. He doesn't need our esrogim. He wants us to work. He wants us to work very hard picking out those esrogim. He wants us to go batty, looking at these things, spots, and holding it up to light until we can't see straight, until we see spots dancing in front of our eyes. He wants us to do that, but we're not giving Him anything. And then He gives us eternity. Why? For looking under a dim light in someone's bomb shelter. And just, out of black dot, I can't see. Could you see? I don't know. You don't give Him anything. We could fool ourselves into thinking that we're earning, but we're not earning anything. That's the thing. Yiddishkeit believes that we have to work, but we don't earn anything. It's all chesed. And since Hashem does chesed to us, and we have to do chesed to each other, Hashem made us dependent. Hashem made us beings that we can't exist in a vacuum. We need a social system. We have to help each other. We have imperfections. And our imperfections don't match up because everyone has different imperfections. Everyone has miles of Hisrainus. Why does Hashem make us this way? Hashem's purpose is not the advancement of mankind. Hashem's purpose is not that a human being should work and earn and perfect himself and be great so that he is the greatest person that ever lived. All on his own without any help. That's not why God made creation. Hashem created the world. So that through all of the units, all the people that exist in the world from the beginning of the world throughout all the years, the ages, and the centuries, and the millenniums, that each and every one of them fills in a different piece of the puzzle and fills the world with Hashem's accomplishments. It's mamash, it's a polar extreme, diametrically opposed. Is it our covet, and we deserve it, and we did it, and nobody helped us, and you're not, and you can't, if you help someone that's cheating, now if you're playing a game of poker, and then there's a sneaky guy, walking around the place, and he has a whole system of hand signals to tip a guy off when he should bluff, when he should fold. That's cheating. He's high, Misa. You cheat at poker. You don't belong here. You're cheating. You can't help someone else. He has a problem. He can't read the other guy's face. He's going to lose it, so he's going to lose everything. You can't help him. Cheating. You have to do it all on your own. You see, is this clear? Stein was destroyed. David HaMelech was born from the destruction of Stein. So when you have a system that sets itself up to oppose any achdus, any camaraderie, any hitzdafus, any joining together for a common goal outside of the group in order to bring glory to the Creator, and that system is destroyed, then what comes out of the destruction of such a system? The anti-Stein emerges from the ashes. The anti-Stein emerges from the ashes. Matzasi Avdi. Hashem found, I found my Eved, my slave. David's a slave. A slave. Why? What's a slave? A slave exists for his master. And where did I find someone that exists for his master? I found him in Stein.
Matzasi,
Matzasi, David Avdi. I'm sorry, Matzasi, David Avdi.
Matzasi David Avdi?
Yeah, Matzasi David Avdi Bistain.
Before David Avdi Matzasi? No. How's it go?
No, Matzasi David Avdi.
Before Matzasi David Avdi?
Matzasi David Avdi. There were guys that came to yeshiva yesterday, he spoke.
Huh?
Rabbi Geisler.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke in yeshiva. He spoke about the Hopi Indians.
Who?
The Hopi Indians. In the language of the Hopi Indians, you won't find a term for like a week or a month. You know, there's no word for it. I mean, they have days, maybe, something like that, but they don't have any terms that combine days together. They have a term for things, but not for days. And he said, the Svara is Pashit. Because you could have two objects together at the same time. You have one object, you got one thing. You got two apples, you've got two apples. And you put them on the same table, you have two apples on one table. But you can't have 2 days together. Because if it's Sunday, it's not Monday. If it's Monday, it's not Tuesday. So they don't have this concept. They can't, you know, because time cannot coexist. You can't have two times together in one unit, so they don't have it. But we do. The site of counting, the purpose of counting is to take separate units and bring them together in one unit. If you say one and one and one and one and one and one and one, that's the way you count. So then you have a bunch of ones. If you say seven, so then the number brings the seven together. The state of counting, Sfiras Aimer, we count because we're not counting 41 units, we're counting one group of 49 days. We, at the end of each week, we say it's a week because the word Shavua doesn't mean seven single days. The word Shavua is a sevenling. It's a sevenling. It's one unit of seven. Came out of Mitzrayim, when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim culminated in Marmon or Sinai, and it says Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ahar, and Yisrael camped opposite the mountain. Vayichan is singular tense, it's Lashon Yachid. Yisrael is singular tense, Lashon Yachid. Vayichan Yisrael is a, there was someone named Yisrael, and he camped opposite the mountain. Chazal say, Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. It took them 49 days to get to that point. In Mitzrayim, there were millions of Jews, millions of individuals, units, separate units. Each one had their own destiny, their own agenda. And then when they came to Mount Taira, they were not individuals, they were one. It took them 7 weeks to get there, because during those 7 weeks, that's what they were doing. I mean, this has to do with the Midas. The Midas, you have to work on certain Midas during Sfiras Aimer. We're not going to go into that now. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yesod, Malchus. Seven Midas. You work on seven Midas during 7 weeks. You work on acquiring those midas. Chesed is obvious. I mean, it's partial. If you work on midas or chesed, obviously you're going, as a result, you're going to come to be cohesive, to be one cohesive unit. Because you can't work on midas chesed only thinking of yourself. Midas chesed, by definition, is being aware that there's something outside of yourself. So chesed is the first one. The last one is malchus. In human terms, a melech can't be a melech all by himself. In human terms. I mean, you can't be a melech. Melech over what? You gotta be a melech over something. You gotta be a melech over something. The Gemara talks in Gemara in Gittin. In the 7th parak, says when Shlomo HaMelech was captured by the king of the demons, by Ashpadai, Ashpadai swallowed Shlomo HaMelech and he put one wing up in the Shemayim, one wing up down on the Eretz, and he shot him out, and he spared him out 400 parses. And the Gemara said Shlomo HaMelech was the king over his stick. It's machlokes, because he was the king over his stick, or he was king over his water bottle. I mean, there's a lot of sages there. But what is it? Why does the Gemara have to say he was a king over his stick? He wasn't a king. Why does it say he's a king over his stick? I mean, there's a lot of arichas we can go into over here, but the one thing you say from that Gemara is that you're a king, you have to be king over something. Even if it's only a stick. The Gemara is saying that even though he was thrown away from his kingdom, he was still a king. Because he's a king over a stick. So why does the Gemara have to say he's a king over a stick? Just say that he's still a king. Because you can't be a king unless you're a king over something. He was a king over a stick. Without going into any explanations, he was a king over a stick. Malchus means being a king over others. That means directing others. That means laying down the law to others. That means to make sure that the kingdom operates as a cohesive unit in harmony. That's the job of a king. The job of a king is to make sure that all those that are under him are doing all their jobs, to make sure that each one works in tandem, that the king functions as a unit. So we start out with chesed, which is being aware that there's something outside of you, and we end up with malchus, which is the ultimate. That's chesed, as chesed expands, and until you finally get to the madrig, that each and every person has their role, and there's someone on top, to make sure that all the people under you have that role. That's malchus. So I can understand why David HaMelech was born on Shavuos and why he passed away on Shavuos. We could also understand why we don't count the 50th day. And some of these questions are being answered because the 50th day, the sphere is the 49 days represent the parts of Klal Yisrael that are functioning in their unique roles with each other. And then there's a power on top of us that unifies us all. So the number 49 represents all the parts, the components, the participles of Klal Yisrael, and the number 50 represents, well, so it's not 50, it's 49 and 1, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What? We don't count it. It's there, but we don't count it because it's above. Because
we can't relate to
it. It's above. I mean, you see this. We say Oz Yimal Yishchaypinu, and Shemalas Oz Yimal Yishchaypinu. Then our mouths are going to be filled with laughter. So Oz is Aleph and Zion. Then will come the time when all the Zion is Bechmatria 7. All the sevens will have their proper place. And they'll be underneath the Aleph, the Echad Shalom. And David HaMelech is a part of that. David HaMelech, through his lineage, Mashiach ben David, is going to bring to that. And Maimon Har Sinai, the going out of Mitzrayim to Maimon Har Sinai, is the preliminary, the Hagdama, to us going through Galus and coming out to the times of Mashiach Tzidkenu to David HaMelech. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu is part of the lines of Mashiach. Adam, there's two different ways of reading the Rashi Tevis of Adam. One is Adam, David, Mashiach, Aleph, Dal, Mem, and the other is Adam, David, Moshe. There's two different ways of Mahakim. It's two Mahakim. And that's the side of Shemitah and Yevil. Shemitah and Yovel is the acknowledgement that we don't earn anything on our own. that anything, you know, Hashem puts us in the world that we have to work, otherwise we starve. But when we do the work, it's Hashem that gives it to us, and we acknowledge this by not eating anything from what we produce until we bring a carbon. When we bring the carbon, then it's mutter for us to eat. You know, you're always eating from last year's produce. You never eat from, you never eat from this year's, but you have to wait till the second day of Pesach, and then you can eat. Why? Because that's a night. You take a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though we worked, we put our credits in it, but we don't earn anything. Everything is chesed. Chesed to each other, chesed from a Kodesh Baruch Hu to us. As he said, it's Omer. That's why it's barley, kiyadua, you start out with barley, you bring a carbon of barley on the second day of Pesach, and then you bring a carbon of wheat and Shavuos, because barley is animal food and wheat is human being food. And then, you know, if you know, this is the contrary of what Stein believed, that until you get to that madriga, you realize that you don't earn anything yourself and you can't do anything on your own, then you are subhuman. It's the opposite of Stein. The opposite. Mamish, the opposite. You start out that you're your own person and that you earn your keep. You are an animal. Subhuman. And then you go on this journey to Shavuos and become a human being. What's the definition of a human being? One that recognizes that on his own he is absolutely worthless. He does not belong in creation. Anyone that believes that he on his own exists for himself and he supports himself and the purpose of creation is himself does not belong, he's subhuman.
A human being, one that believes that he on his own cannot exist?
A human being is someone that is aware that his existence is totally dependent on something higher than him. That's your side. And you bring the righteous. You bring the first thing. The gematria 50 is the word kol. Kiyadua. It's an easy gematria. Kiyadua. Someone that mevatel himself, someone that sees himself as just like part of Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, that he has a place in the world because he exists to serve his source, his creator. We exist in order to illuminate the world with God's glory, not our own glory. So then we are an extension of God's glory and we have no limitations, we have no limits. So we have everything. What's the definition of someone that has no limits? Someone that has everything. If you have no limits, you keep going because you are what God wanted. And you reflect God's purpose. And God loves you and he wants you. And he wants you to exist because you are doing what he wants you to do. You are being what he wants you to be. And you are lighting up the world with the light he wants. So then he is going to ensure that you keep doing that and that you don't stop. So self-negation, being mevatel yourself, self-nullification is the key to eternity. It's the key to throwing off any limitations. You can do anything. That's the site of the Nevi'im, the Nisim, and Tzadikim, and they give brachas. That's the site of that. Because someone that he sees himself as an extension of God's will, so God's will has no limits, and he has no God's will. And he can transcend all reality. That's Kritz Tzaderet, that's splitting the Yamsuf, that's making oil keep going. Kiyadua v'chahina v'chahina rabbis. There's no limits though, you know, a pitcher of oil can keep going, just keep going. It'll never stop. Someone that sees himself as the purpose of creation, that the world's created for me, and that, you know, everything starts and ends with me, so then he might have a lot, he might be very powerful, he might have a lot of accomplishments, but he doesn't have everything. That's the counter philosophies of Yeshli Rav and Yeshli Kol. Esav, when he met Yaakov, after Yaakov came back from Laban's house, so they were both very wealthy. And Esav said, you know, Yaakov gave Esav a present, huge present, lots of camels, huge, mucho camels. And he says, no, Yeshli Rav, I have a lot. And Yaakov says, well, I have everything. And Esav took the present. He took it. Because he had a lot, he wanted more. And Yaakov had no problem giving it up because he had endless. So Esav took it, and Yaakov gave it up. Yaakov didn't lose anything. Gave it up. Yeshli Rav Yeshli Kol. Esav has a lot in common with Stein. Esav's a murderer. He's known for being a murderer. That's what he's known for. Why is Esav a murderer? Because if you view yourself as a self-contained universe, that you don't exist, you exist in a vacuum, and nobody else matters, and nobody else counts, so then you eliminate them. That's what Sikha. Chesed is a product of the philosophy of Yeshli Kol. I have everything because I'm hooked up to God's plan. Me and my family and everyone in creation, we're all part of a whole. So we have everything. So we don't kill each other, because you don't kill something that's part of everything. You don't kill somebody that God needs, because that person, you don't kill a shoemaker because God needs a shoemaker. You don't kill a brain scientist. God, you don't start killing people right and left, because each, you know, you don't pull even a leaf, you know. My great-great uncle, Reb Shraga Feivel Mendelowitz, he would give shiur outside. You'd see students pulling off twigs or leaves. You know, we do this. I do it also. And he'd said, you know, Chazal said that for each and every blade of grass, there's a malach standing over it saying, grow. And the malach says, grow, and you're saying, no. What are you doing?
What do you mean? Maybe he created that leaf so you pull it.
No, there's no purpose. If you have a purpose in pulling the leaf off because you want to make a mattress, then you pull the leaf.
Tree.
No, that's not, that's what tzicha. You're killing something that was created for Kvod Shemayim. You're pulling it for Kvod Shemayim purposes, so then that's part of God's creation. But if you're not pulling it for Kvod Shemayim, that's what tzicha. It's what tzicha, you're destroying God's purpose. Just do that. If a fly is disturbing your learning and you kill it, that's Kvod Shemayim, to kill the fly. But if you're standing outside and the fly is not bothering anybody and you kill it, that's tzicha. Whatever purpose that fly had, there's no longer, you're killing a purpose. Yeshli Kol, everything is important. But if you hold Yeshli Rav, that I have a lot and it's me and nothing else counts, and I don't need anyone, and everything I have, I did it, I'm so self-accomplished, self-made person, so nobody else, Esav, you know, if he'd be let loose, would kill every single person in creation except for himself. You see this. Cain killed Hevel. Why did Cain kill Hevel? Because he has to be alone. You understand? Why did Chum? Chum committed an atrocity against his father Noah. He shouldn't have any more children. Because he has to be alone. No more people. No more. You see, this is his side. It's something which goes back to the origins of creation.
But then you could find a way to kill a person for Kvod Shemayim and it would be completely fine.
Yeah, it's called Mises Besdin. Yeah. You kill people that are counter to Hashem's purpose. You kill murderers. You do kill murderers. Yeah, the Gemara says that somebody eats without a bracha, he's a gazlan. Rashi says, why is he a gazlan? Not because he's stealing from Hashem. You can't steal from Hashem. He's a gazlan because Hashem sees that this person's not making a bracha, and Hashem says, okay, they don't appreciate it, so I'm not going to give them bracha, so he's stealing from Klal Yisrael. Rashing the six-pack of brachas. It's a gazlan. Yeah, because Hashem sees when someone doesn't make a bracha, so he said, you don't appreciate what I give you, you think that you don't have to make a bracha. A bracha is an acknowledgement that you get it from God. He didn't make a bracha. He thinks that he gets it. Hashem says, I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him you don't make your own food.
The Ritva says like the Prince of
China. Yeah, I know. But there's Rashi is a good source you could bring. Yeah, Rashi is a good source. Rishkayecha. That's a good source. You're gazlan. Tzeach. Tzeach. Pasuk says, V'yazid Yaakov nazid. Yaakov was cooking lentils. Esau was coming back from the field, he was murdering. So murdering is tiring. He was killing, so came back and it says, Yaakov Nazir. Did you ever Wonder why the pasuk uses the word Vayazid Yaakov Nazid. If I was writing the Torah, I'm glad I'm not the one. I would say Vayivashel. Yeah, Rashi there said, well, Vayazid is Mavashel. Where does it ever say that Vayivashel means Vayazid? Vayazid. Vayazid. When you cook, Bishel. Melech is Bishel. Melech is Bishel. I came across a very interesting Gemara. It's on Hedron, in Perak Ben Sarah Ramira. The Gemara wants to bring a Raya to Machlokes in the Gemara, whether a katan, someone that didn't have Shtei Saris, a katan, could be mailed, whether he could produce children. Machlokes in the Gemara. And Reish Lakish brings a Raya from a pasuk of Ish Ki Yazid Al Re'eyu. Ish, someone over the age of Bar Mitzvah, Ish means someone over the, Ki Yazid, that he murders with intent. Ki Yazid Al Re'eyu. Lahaga Ba'arma. Ki Yazid, he murders him with intent. So you see that an Ish, someone over the age of Bar Mitzvah, someone half two Saris, murders with intent. And Reish Lakish said the word Vayazid means fully ripe, fully cooked. What's the raya? Because by Yaakov Avinu it says by Yasid Yaakov Nasid. Yaakov cooked the lentils and they were fully ripe and they were fully cooked. So you see, Ish Ki Yazid, that if someone's over the age of Bar Mitzvah, so then he's fully ripe. What doesn't mean fully ripe. Fully ripe means that he can have children. It's referring to the zera, you know, the process of the zera in a person, that the zera is fully ripe, that it could impregnate a woman. So the pasuk uses the word vayazed, not for cooking, not for murdering, but to say that the zera process is fully ripe and you can impregnate a child. It bothered me. The Torah didn't have any other way of telling us this. This is the way it has to tell us that the cotton could have children. This is what, you know, this is maybe something which we could continue another week. But it's just like, unless you have time. You have time? You okay?
I'm good,
people. Okay, you're good. I didn't get it. The themes that they come together are so mind-boggling. The process of Zera being formed in a man. You know, before he comes to fruition, you know, before it culminates in the act that brings about a pregnancy. That mirrors everything we're talking until now. You have a small tipa of Zera. That an entire human being comes from that small type of zera, and a human being is very, very complex, and he has a lot of, he's multifaceted, and there's a lot of pratim. A human being. They're called the mensch, a gadlador, Can we count all the things that are inside of a gadlador? It's just like beyond number. It's beyond number to, you know, all the complexities of a person. So even biologically, you know, the cells and the atoms and the protons and neutrons, the electrons, the neutrinos, the quarks. It's beyond number. It's my ball of rain. All the protein in a person. All the protein. And that's without going into what he accomplishes and what he does. What, how many steps are involved in a single thought process? You can break down to go like, you know, now they're in robotics, they're researching this. Because they're trying to duplicate human movement. They have to break it down to so many steps. They have computer models. And all those are one drop of zera. That is the site of Pratim. And one drop of Zara. The godless other one, one drop of Zara. And that philosophy could be understood in two ways. It could be understood that look at all the multi, you know, all the numbers, the great number of things in creation, that they all come together in harmony as one. It must be for one purpose, for a great purpose, for Kvod Shamayim, or Chas V'Shalom. Look how great a person is, that he has all this thing in one person. It must be that I'm supposed to kill everybody else in the world and I'm the only one left. So you can understand now why the pasuk that teaches you the age of a child is able to give birth to, the age a person is able to give birth when the zera is mevushal is in the pasuk of Ritzicha. Because that, you know, this yisayid of tipa zera that's mevushal, that his royal highlid leads chas v'shalom if it's distorted to Ritzicha. But that's if it's distorted. Vayazid Yaakov Nazid. Yaakov used the lentils to buy the Bechera off of Esav. What's the Bechera? Bechera is firstborn. It's the Rashis. Bechera is the Rashis. Yaakov Avinu was telling Esav in very strong terms, the Rashis is not by you. And you're looking at yourself, you're the first, and you're the last. You know, Ani Rishon. Mamash, the words of the puzzle. Ani Rishon, I am the first. Ani Achron, I am the last. Mi Baladai, Ein Nelik, Chas V'Shalom, Ein Nelikim. There's no God besides me. Esav is saying that. I'm the first. And Yaakov Avinu says, no, that's a treif of first. The real first is by us, that we take the first of everything. Our firstborn, our first grain, our first day of the year, and we go through all the firsts. And we dedicate all the firsts, all the origins, all the first things to Kashmir. The first grain, it's all yours. The time, we do it in time. We do it in agriculture. We do it in the animals, human beings. Our first son, our first donkey, our first sheep, everything. But yes, it's Yaakov Nazid. And what's the first of a person? The Tipa Zera is the first of a person. Vayez Yaakov Nazid. The gematria of the word Omer, will end with this. The gematria of the word Omer, it's not a hard gematria. It's 310. Right? Spell about Ben Amel Chaver. It's 310. Those are the letters of Kuf Resh Yud. Kuf Resh Yud is when someone takes a zero, Tipa Zera, and wastes it. Instead of using it to create more outside of himself, it's all self-gratification. There's no, you know, everything, you know, tipa, you know, someone that doesn't use the Tipa Zera in order to give over, you know, the ultimate chesed as a husband with his wife. He gives to his wife, and then she takes it further. That's the ultimate in wasting. No, I don't give. Everything takes place, you know, the Kuf Resh Yud is the act of everything taking place within the person without joining together with someone else in order to go vita. It's also the letters Yud Kuf Resh. Yaker. Yaker is covered. We're not created for ourselves. We're created for Hashem's covered.
Yaker means covered?
Yes. Yakar. Vesh Yakar Teferes Gedula Sai. It's a pasuk in Megillas Esther. Okar. Is bare. Yaker is covered. I don't remember any of the points we raised, but I think they are covered.
Well, it says Sirius Omer.
No, I think that's Patrius Omer.
It's counting up.
Because we're counting up, we're counting the Omer. Yeah, the every day we're counting Omer. Yikar.
Why we count weeks? Is it that?
That's why it's called Sirius Omer. Say that. Be zeicha to become human beings.